Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
By some estimates, 41 million people struggle with hunger in America. One in eight children in our country are at risk for food insecurity, and those numbers are higher for black and brown kids. It's why advocates celebrated in late September when the issue of hunger took center stage in the nation's capital.
Welcome to the White House Conference on Hunger, Nutrition, and Health. Please welcome the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Thomas Vilsack.
It was indeed a big moment. The first time a president held such a summit in 50 years. The stated goal? To end hunger in America by 2030.
This is the United States of America. There is nothing. I really mean it. There's nothing beyond our capacity when we work together. So let's work together.
With a wounded economy coming out of a painful pandemic, that goal looks a billion miles away. But when you meet the people on the front lines in this fight against hunger and poverty, you feel like maybe, just maybe, we can get there.
So we got to keep at it. I love that you call me an optimist. I describe myself as an enthusiastic realist, definitely not a pessimist, but we have our work cut out for us, but we know what the solutions are.
There is food for everyone, father, daughter, mother, son. There's enough for everyone.
This week on 880 In Depth, fighting hunger and poverty in our community. Our conversation with Why Hunger's Noreen Springstad.
From the mountain to the plain, there's enough for everyone in our green and growing home.
Welcome to 880 In Depth. I'm Tim Scheld. Maybe you know that voice. It's Tom Chapin, a man who's been on the front lines of this fight ever since his brother Harry Chapin took up the cause almost 50 years ago.
Why Hunger's been doing, as it has been for since 1975, putting hungry people in touch with food, helping them towards self-reliance, and really working toward food justice. Their motto is, food is a right, not a privilege. And that really comes to the bottom line here, which is that if you are poor, you have to make terrible decisions about yourself, your family, your children, about what to spend your money on, you know, gas to get your to your job or rent or heat or food. And that is really what Why Hunger has been addressing for so long. My brother Harry was so prescient early on when he said that about American food is that, you know, hunger is awful, but hunger in America is outrageous, you know.
A child arrived just the other day, came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk when I went.
Harry Chapin died in 1981, but ever since, Tom has helped carry the torch for World Hunger Year, now Why Hunger. Each November, radio stations across the New York market, including these, get together to support something called Hungerthon. Stations in our Odyssey cluster have been doing it for decades. It's actually in our DNA now. What's Hungerthon and why do we need it? I had a chance to visit with Noreen Springstad. She's the executive director of Why Hunger, the organization co-founded by Harry Chapin and Bill Ayers almost 50 years ago.
It's an annual New York City radio tradition that's been happening since 1975. Everybody knows Thanksgiving's coming when they hear the Hungerthon.
Can you tell the story of the first Hungerthon? I know I've heard it from a lot of people. It was it the one that was at the UN? Was that the first one?
That was not the first one. The first one, as Why Hunger folklore goes, involved Harry Chapin and Bill Ayers, our two co-founders. They were looking for creative ways to meet their mission to end hunger and get to those root cause solutions of why people are hungry in the first place. And Harry was a musician and Bill was a rock and roll radio DJ. And they had an incredible relationship with Mel Karmazin, who was at WNEW, and Pete Fornatale, and all the great personalities from back in the day.
The first Hungerthon was probably 70, a little later, 78 or 79. It was on NEW-FM, remember? And mm-hmm. with Pete Fornatale and those great guys, and it's 24 hours. And it was Harry on the station with various guests, Bill Ayers and Hunger folks. And it was 24 hours. They did that for maybe, 5 or 6 years. The first year, I remember, it was. I got a call. I'm in Brooklyn, and I got a call from Harry at about 2 in the morning. I go, hello? He goes, hey, it's real dead up here. Why don't you come up to NEW? So I grabbed the guitar, got dressed, and came up there. We spent a couple of hours singing in the middle of the night to who knows who. and what's happened, of course, is that you guys and Sirius and have just stepped up and been so important to what we do.
And they came up with this idea. Many people will remember the WNEW rock and roll calendar. And they used that as the first fundraiser and kind of the kickoff to the Hungerthon to raise money for Why Hunger and get this tradition started. And it's been such a beautiful, wonderful radio partnership for all of those years.
It does show the power of local radio. I mean, I grew up on that radio station. You probably grew up on that radio station. I bought those calendars when I was in high school. I called up the concert lines to win tickets on WNEW-FM. And so as a listener, I felt close to the charities that they were talking about. And that just proves how important radio stations and local stations can be to something like this.
There's no doubt that many of our donors and supporters, myself, you, remember how cherished those moments were, the connection to the live on-air DJ who could spin you a story, tell you a tale, get you excited about music, and also get you excited about causes like Why Hunger and the Hungerthon. And we've been doing it ever since. So many of our donors were buying those $25 calendars or the $50 Hungerthon t-shirts and have been with us for the long haul. So the power of local radio and local community is really part of our secret sauce. As you know, grassroots solutions and communities who are active and know their problems and challenges the best are the ones that are transforming them to be vibrant, to help kids, to nourish families, to grow gardens, and to make sure that every person in community has access to nutritious food.
Tell me about the day-to-day, what Y does for a living.
So day in and day out, we say we run two parallel tracks, really important ones. One is to help meet people's immediate food needs. People are in a hunger crisis. We saw it kind of dip a little bit last year as COVID was waning on and I guess people were adjusting. But now that inflation is really impacting everyone across the board, whether it's a loaf of bread, a dozen eggs, a gallon of milk, you go to the grocery store and everyone's really struggling. But the people who are on these fixed incomes or low incomes, and then you got to make these choices around rent and medication and stuff for the kids for school, it's hard. So what we do on that first track is to meet people's immediate food needs. Last year alone, we helped 1.2 million people access nutritious food closest to their home. So we do that through our hunger hotline, 1-800-5-HUNGRY. You can also text your zip code to 1-800-5-HUNGRY. Or if you go online, whyhunger.org/findfood, We've really created this amazing database of service providers all across the country. It could be a soup kitchen, a food pantry, a food bank, a local farm who's getting nutritious food into the community, and you'll get connected to the place closest to your home. Google and Waze helped us really map this out even further, and there's about 60,000 agencies feeding people in America every single day. So Why Hunger's Find Food database is a great resource for getting connected to address your immediate hunger crisis. But we all know this problem has been going on for way too long. It's been consistently about 12% of our population for the last 50, 52 years, and we need to invest in solutions that are really moving people off the hunger line into self-sufficiency, and also investing in really vibrant solutions, whether that's in Bed-Stuy or Englewood, New Jersey, all in the tri-state area. CBS 880 has certainly seen those organizations in action. We invest in those organizations to help move people into nourishment and self-sufficiency.
Please welcome the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Thomas Vilsack.
Thank you very much. Welcome. It's my privilege to open today's conference, and thank you all who have traveled across our great country to be here.
We made reference to it earlier, but there was a big moment in the fight against hunger recently. President Biden gathering dozens of major players in the world of health, nutrition, and hunger for a wide-ranging conversation, a summit of sorts on hunger, nutrition, and health.
Yeah, it was a big deal to put hunger on the map. I always say it's America's dirtiest little secret, right? We address it by handing out food, but we never really put it in the spotlight and say, hey, what are we going to do about it? We know that the power of the federal government and corporations, along with the many, many, many agencies working to solve hunger, coming together can actually solve the problem. So President Biden had a White House conference to end hunger at the end of September. It was 52 years since the last one, which was done under President Nixon at a time when there was so much bipartisan cooperation around this issue, most notably Senator Dole and Senator McGovern, President Nixon, who was a Republican president. People all agree that hunger is solvable and we need the political will to do something. So kudos to the Biden administration for bringing people together, challenging corporations and saying, we can end hunger for good. They've promised us they're in it for the long haul. They've gotten lots of corporations to make commitments. From Why Hunger's point of view, we think they could even gone further, like really looking to establish nutritious food as a human right. But they're doing a lot of good things, increasing SNAP benefits, moving towards universal healthy meals for kids in school. If you're going to school in America, you need a textbook, you need a bus, you need a pencil, you need a meal to be ready to learn. And all of the administrative paperwork that goes around school lunches and then lunch shaming around debts, it's a no-brainer. So the White House conference actually pushed to move this. And then one of the root cause issues, which we applaud them for, is the underpinnings of economic justice. You need a living wage job to pay for food to feed your family. And I think that's part of what it means to hold corporations accountable in America too. If you're gonna make amazing profits, but you're gonna do that in a way that doesn't pay your workers well and they end up on a food line or on SNAP, that's un-American. So there's a challenge there to move more towards a living wage or a thriving wage. It's very different in municipalities all across the country. It's not an equal thing, which is why living wage ordinances have been a really powerful tool in the fight to end hunger and poverty.
You're an amazing optimist. We've known each other all our lives. You're very much an optimist. What do you say to the pessimists out there that have said, or may say, I don't hear it anywhere, but I want to answer it, you've been doing this for decades, and what progress have you made? I think you've made a lot of progress, but what do you say to people who say, ugh, year after year I hear the same thing, how come we're not solving this problem?
Yeah, I've been reflecting on that a lot, right? Because the radio stations come together and do this. We need to move the needle here. And we did, even in the midst of COVID. It's hard, like COVID's like Groundhog Day. You don't even remember which year was that, 2021. 2021, the numbers came down. And we saw that primarily as a result of the drivers of how the federal government actually helped people. The expansion of pandemic EBT, an increase in SNAP amounts in the summer when kids are out of school and they go hungriest, an increase in SNAP across the board, lots of things that made a difference. These are pocketbook issues, right? People are going hungry because they can't afford food. Half of people who are relying on government assistance or food banks, pantries, and kitchens are actually working. So we got to keep at it. I love that you call me an optimist. I describe myself as an enthusiastic realist, definitely not a pessimist. But we have our work cut out for us, but we know what the solutions are. And we look at when we look at those structural inequities, especially around economic injustice and health equity, people that don't have access to healthy foods in communities that have been structurally marginalized. We need to be both realistic, but have a sense of hope and purpose to move forward.
Raising awareness of the problem and shining a spotlight on solutions are both in the Why playbook. So too is raising money. And one vehicle that helps them do all that is music. Some of the people listening to this conversation are listening on music stations here in New York that have played a big role in big causes, including Why Hunger's. Why Hunger has a lifelong special connection to music. Can you talk a little bit about that? Obviously, Harry Chapin, but talk about the music and what you're doing today with today's artists.
Yeah, we say music's in our DNA. It's really in our soul. It's who we are, starting with our origin story with Harry. But it's also about the power of music to move movements. We've seen that, right? We've seen that in the women's movement, in the civil rights movement, in the movement for Black lives. Music is the soundtrack of movements. So starting with Harry, but also Bruce Springsteen has been an incredible supporter, Carlos Santana, Tom Morello, and recently Rage Against the Machine, when they reunited on tour this summer, they really thought about how would they make a difference in their tour communities, in the cities that they would leave behind when they put their guitar in the case and close it up and moved on to the next city. And they turned to Why Hunger because we're a trusted partner. We know where the action is at a community level. And they really want it to go deep. And while caring for the idea that we need to meet people's immediate food needs, they wanted to invest in transformative solutions rooted in social justice. So they did something amazing. Every single concert, they had a section of the audience, tickets blocked out for charity, and they raised $1.2 million for Why Hunger, of which 80% is going back into those communities, investing in solutions, people-powered solutions in the communities where they were making incredible music.
Here's the prayer book out of his sleeping bag. Preacher lights up a butt and takes a drag. Waiting for when the last shall be first and the first shall be last. In a cardboard box deep the underpass.
Talk to me about Hungerthon and how people can help and how this plays out over the course of November and December.
Hungerthon is one of those, you know, feel-good things about Thanksgiving. You're hopefully going home this year, hopefully spending more time with more family and celebrating the abundance of food that we'll all have. And it's an eye-opener to think that a lot of people are going to go without. So Hungerthon's an opportunity for radio listeners to get in and do some good, you know, give back, and then we'll give you a gift as well, which is really nice. This Radiothon model is you make a donation at hungerthon.org, and we have some incredible gifts for you. We have our Hungerthon t-shirt. People are collecting them over the years. This year it's a nice light blue one, Nutritious Food is a Human Right. We have a really cool knit hat and scarf set of John Lennon Imagine and a t-shirt. And Bruce Springsteen also gave us a t-shirt. It's his barn, a picture of his barn with music notes emanating out from my home to yours, and lots of other things that you can get at hungerthon.org.
And those listening to these radio stations can find this information on your website. But on Hungerthon Day, which is the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, we want people to tune into these stations and bid on auction items from the radio stations that may be something on 1010 Wins or an event on WFAN or tickets for one of the sports teams or meet Boomer Esiason or something on WCBS 880. It's always been wonderful over the years to hear the auction items that are open on Charity Bus.
Yeah, the spirit of Hungerthon is alive and well. Everyone gets in on the action. We get really creative about the experiences that the listeners can have. Everybody is so generous, and we'll have signed guitars and tickets to games and all kinds of things. So Hungerthon will go live on November 1st, and it'll run throughout the month and a little bit into December. And at hungerthon.org, you'll be able to see those auction items. But it's really fun when we're in studio together on the live day, and you can call the phone line and there will be a volunteer there ready to take your call, take your donation, and tell you more about the really unique auction items that we'll have.
Remember when music came from wooden boxes strung with silver wire? As we sang, the words would set our hearts.
It's always an inspiring time of year for us and our stations to work with your organization. One of the things that I always love, it comes up on my music list on my phone, on my iPhone, and it's Bruce Springsteen singing a Harry Chapin song at Carnegie Hall. It was the Carnegie Hall celebration of Harry's life. And in the discussion as part of the song, Bruce comes out and he quotes Harry during the course of him singing the song and said, you know, in effect, I can't be as eloquent as my friend Bruce is, but he said something to the effect that we thought our generation was going to solve the problems, and we realize that it's going to take a little bit more than just wishing that these problems get solved. We need to get out there and do our own part. And he said, in the spirit of Harry Chapin, do something. And I think that's what we're doing.
That's the mantra, do something, and I think Bruce put it so eloquently. 2 weeks ago, we had an event up in the Bronx at the Riverdale Y Farmers Market, and Tom Chapin and his daughters, Abigail and Lily, sang Remember When the Music, and my heart just went right back to that place. If we all just do a little something, we'll get that much closer to solving hunger in America and making sure that nutritious food is a human right for all.
Thank you for what you do, Noreen, and we look forward to Hungerthon this year.
Thank you, Tim.
Remember when the music came from wooden boxes, strung with silver wires? And as we sang the words, it would set our minds on fire. We believed in things, and so it seemed. Remember when the music was the best.
For those who want to help, please visit hungerthon.org. That's hungerthon.org. That's our in-depth for this week. Our thanks to Bill Tynan for his technical help, and thanks to Bill Ayers, Noreen Springstad, and all of our friends at Y for what they do every day. And in the words of Harry Chapin, do something. I'm Tim Scheld. Thank you for listening.
We had dreams to live, we had hopes to give.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.